Oversight Board for the Portland Police Bureau. Make sure your voice is heard, even if it just feels like harm reduction. Vote in the November 3rd election.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Tune in on Election Day, November 3rd at 6 p.m. to hear KBOO's Election Night Special. We will start the evening with a live stream of Democracy Now! At 7:30, we will be tracking national, state, and local results live, as well as hearing from community groups and your favorite KBOO programmers as we break down this historic election. Again, that's KBOO's Election Night Special starting at 6 p.m. on November 3rd at 90.7 on your FM dial or online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is supported by our members and by the Rural Organizing Project, whose Defend Democracy hotline is available for voting assistance, reporting, and getting support for spotting and stopping voter intimidation and disinformation and other resources. Hotline information is available at 541-714-3257 and at rop.org/democracy.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt, and I am a member of the American Federation of State, County and Municipal Employees Retirees Union, and the current president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by my sisters in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Audrey Correll. I'm the vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. I'm retired from the international staff to the United Auto Workers Place. And I'm president and CEO of the Jack
Audrey Curlin. Good evening, and this is Deborah Hall, and I'm the current secretary treasurer for the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, a retired member of the American Federation of Teachers, and ready for the election.
Our guests tonight are Sister Sharika Carter, who is the political and strategic campaign director in Washington State, and Sister April Sims, who's the Secretary Treasurer of the Washington State Labor Council of the AFL-CIO. Tonight, our show will highlight the significance of Black female voters and political strategists during this current election. Welcome to our show. Sister Sims, can you do us the honor of introducing Sister Carter for us, please?
Oh, it would be my pleasure. First, thank you so much for having me back on. I love this show and love the work y'all are doing down there. Sharika Carter, let me tell you a few things about Sharika Carter. First and foremost, she is certified Black Girl Magic, and we are so lucky here in Washington State to have her as our political and strategic campaigns director. She comes from the home of the Buckeyes, the OAs. So her being from Ohio means she's no stranger to big campaigns and big elections and a lot of really hard election work. So it's my pleasure to introduce y'all to Sharika Carter, and I'm looking forward to finding more ways for you all to learn about her leadership and the work she's doing here in Washington State.
Well, cool. Welcome, Sister Carter, to the what we call the Great Northwest. So let's get started. My perspective, because this is, again, we're talking Black girl politics, all right? So my perspective over the past decade is that the value of Black women has been overlooked. So how do you deal with that?
I hear that. Like, thinking about like the last decade of Black women, we have definitely been overlooked. So I just want to say that like Black women are smart. We are politically savvy. We are strategic. As Black women, we have to be that. Just like every day in our lives and in outside of work. And so, and so the fact that we've been overlooked, I think it's a couple of things. You know, just one, like the patriarchy, right, is always like holding us down. But then you have to think about like, white supremacy also like holding us down and keeping us back. And so like in terms of thinking about like being overlooked in politics, right, and, you know, having a voice and a seat at the table, thinking about like Shirley Chisholm, like, you know, bring the voting chair to the table. And so for so long we've been bringing voting tables, we've been building our own tables. And, like, you know, now it is absolutely time that, like, we are recognized for the work that we've been doing. We are organizers, and we've been organizing for years. And so in this moment, I'm super excited to see a Black woman at the top of the ticket. So, like, it's our moment to shine, and I'm excited.
Okay. So what do you think that there's a change in a change of heart in this election cycle? What happened?
Well, I think in this election cycle, you know, if we are, you know, thinking about right now in this moment that we're in with, like, Donald Trump as president and, like, the urgency of now to get him out of the White House. So thinking about that, right, so if we go before then, President Barack Obama was our president, and we think of the coalition that he built, right, an amazing coalition, folks who always vote Democrat, folks who, you know, don't often vote Democrat. And so I think with, like, I don't want to say fanfare, but with, like, what he brought to the party and to the moment, which is, like, everyone, you know, was super excited about voting for President Obama. And so thinking about that, like, the amount of Republicans who were, like, excited to vote for him, and then, like, that not carrying over to 2016 with Hillary Clinton, I think the folks, went back to the table and was like, you know, what is missing? What did we do wrong? You know, why weren't people excited? Or, you know, like, didn't want to do the work. And so I think when you have, like, a lot of decision makers, like, at the table who weren't Black women, and then, you know, a few who were there, and folks finally started thinking about it, like, you know what? We were missing Black women. And so, like, I mean, like, we showed up regardless, right? Like, we still showed up to vote. But, it's not, it's not enough. We don't want to keep voting. Like, we want a voice. We want to be on the ticket. And so I think that's really what changed is just in this moment, as, like, lots of folks are, like, trying to do the work to be, like, anti-racist and to, you know, get rid of all, just trying to do the work. I think that was helpful in terms of thinking about, like, where we are right now and making sure that, like, Black women are at the forefront, because, like, we've been leading, and like I said, we've been organizing for a while. And so I think that's what changed. It's just, like, the urgency of now that we're here in this moment.
So you think that that was the change that made everyone look more serious at what Black women and Black strategists had to say? The urgency of now?
Yeah, I think the urgency of now has definitely made folks think about it more. Like, you know, Black women didn't just show up, like, this year, or, you know, even in 2008, Black women were around leading, you know, across the country, just like, you know, local parties, statewide parties, you know, even like going back, you know, to like the 90s, you know, I can think about like Donna Brazil and stuff like that. And so, you know, Black women have been organizing, you know, working as strategists and winning for a while, right? On like, on smaller scales and even like larger campaigns. So, with that, I think just wanting to have like a winning team, right? Like one of the tickets to certify Black Magic in the room at the table to make decisions so that we can win. And so I think, you know, coupled with like the urgency of now and just knowing that like Black women get the job done, is what brought us to this moment.
Okay. Dr. Terrell, did you have a question?
I missed that a little, but I mean, like, just in terms of thinking about, like, Black women as a whole, like, we have been holding down, like, the Democratic Party for years, right? We can think about Stacey Abrams in Georgia and, like, what that moment looked like and, like, how she was able to mobilize so many people, right? And just, like, bringing a lot of folks who, like, hadn't necessarily been involved in politics wanting to vote in the work that, like, you know, she's continuing to do. And, like, you know, folks are even now thinking about Georgia and what's going to happen in those Senate races on Tuesday. And so, like, when Black women are in charge, like, you know, like, we change things. Like, we get it done. Like, I said, like, I just feel like it's in our DNA. So, like, we have to do it. Like, we don't have the luxury to, like, not be able to be masterful.
I just like to make a comment on that. I come out of a strong Black female in my blood, you know. Unfortunately, my father died and left my mother with eight of his children. And so between my mother and grandmothers and aunties, there were strong women. And that got to our training and mindset of making decisions. And I think what's happening now, what's happening is we've gotten educated and we know we don't have as many children as we used to have. So we got more time. We're getting in leadership positions directors and bank presidents or whatever the thing. We're able to use that talent that's been ingrained as being strong women. And now seeing the governors and mayors of these major cities are Black women, we're able to institute their political morality. So I just think it's our time now. Because it's integrated enough to be decision makers, leaders, good mothers, of good parenting skills, all of that is added into, and then we're aware of what's going on and how we can make a difference. So I just wanted to add that in as I was listening to the sisters talking about Black girls matching. Black women are strong, intelligent, and but we've given the opportunity to exercise those talents of them.
Absolutely,
for sure. I'm only here today because of the Black women who came in front of me, right? And so, you know, like, I'm only natural because of them, and so I'm super appreciative.
This is Deborah, and it certainly is our time. I've had the opportunity for the past 3 years to attend a conference called Power Rising. And it's, you know, for Black women, put together by Black women. A lot of the women are members of the Congressional Black Caucus. You know, unbelievable. And I also think, too, that we are definitely a force to be reckoned with, because otherwise, why would you know, it seems like our this current administration at times is kind of open season on black women, you know, and we never, fade away, we don't shrink back, we hold our heads up high, you know, do our business, and carry on. And I'm certainly proud of us for that, and certainly proud of where we're going and where we are currently, actually, because I see a lot of progress being made, and I hope that, you know, us older black women that are in place, as Audrey we're talking about, are able to do the work so that we can support you young people, you know, and to be able to have things in place and have them ready for you, because we're not going to be here forever, but we are in the positions to be able to pull some of those levers of power, you know, because we are there. We're behind the curtain. We are on the boards and all of that stuff. So it's time, women. It's time.
I just like to say that I'm a product of the 60s. And now when I sit back and I see, I saw up there bottom on TV a couple hours ago, and I just get so proud, because what I wasn't able to do, I'm able to see they take positioning. And what I'm to do, not to go home because I'm retired, push, encourage, support, and prepare other women to be in leadership. So I am so proud of what black women are doing today. Not what they're going to do, but what they are doing.
That's right.
So I'm a very supportive mode right now. And proud.
Yeah, I'm inspired to just step in and just like, and that's exactly right. Like, not just, and I think I would add to support and prepare, protect, right? And what it means when there is a coalition or like a table or a group of black women that are all supporting each other, lifting each other up and thinking strategically, I think that's when we see real change. And that's why, like, these conversations are really exciting for me.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Sister Carter, what
made you... I think someone said they were...
What made you choose to come to the Northwest?
Oh, what made me choose to come to the Northwest? I'm so happy you asked that question. But seriously, I came out here to Washington State because April recruited me to come out, and like I was excited to come out.
Girl.
And, but y'all, I got a sharp eye for talent, and my recruitment game is strong.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I was really excited to come out here and do work with April. I was really intrigued by the work that the State Labor Council was doing around race and labor, so like the race and equity work. And so I was excited to, you know, that drew me out here. And so I was like, you know what, I want to come and move some of that work. So I'm from Ohio. And so I came from Ohio from under the leadership of P.D. Tally, who is the Joint Secretary of Ohio. And I love P.D. And, you know, P.D. was like, you know, we're straight their head office to Washington. And so, like, I'm so appreciative of the mentorship that I had under P.D., and like with her and like all the stuff we did with CBPU in Washington. And so like it's been CBPU in Ohio. And so it's been great to come out here to Washington and do this work. And so really it was an opportunity for me to step into my leadership. And so I took a chance and came all the way across the country. So I'm here.
Well,
and Sister Carter, I just like to say, up in Oregon, here in Oregon, you got the strong union black sisters that you have full support of. Strong black women. Anytime you come in this way, you just whisper, we'll hear you and be there to support. Thank you so much. I can't wait to meet y'all in person. You know, next time I'm on 5 headed that way, I will whisper.
Well, jump off, because I'm here in Vancouver off of 500 now. Don't forget.
okay, cool. You know, I head down to Vancouver from time to time, so when it's safe, for sure.
All right.
Okay, so I'd like to remind our listeners that if you just jumped on, you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists Labor Radio segment, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guests tonight are Sister Sharika Carter and Sister April Sims. Both are from Washington State labor state labor council affiliated with the AFL-CIO. And tonight we're talking about black girl magic. And it's just really positive, the things that we've seen, the opportunities that black women are taking. Nobody's given it to them, they're just taking it. And so I'm happy to see that the Democratic Party is finally starting to listen to these women that have their ear to the ground, and they know what's happening in their neighborhoods, and they know how to keep stuff together.
Sister Carter and Sister Sims, what have been some of your biggest challenges?
I think in terms of like thinking about some of my biggest challenges, like professionally for me, like as a young black woman, it's just you know, walking into a space in a room where there like aren't a lot of folks who look like me, and so, you know, often that can be intimidating. And so that's why I'm happy to have this conversation with you all. And then, you know, like to have April as my secretary treasurer, like to be able to go in a room like it's me and her together, right? And so like when we come in, folks are like, oh, it's cool, y'all. And so I think in terms of like thinking about challenges, when there aren't a lot of folks who like look like you in a room, it can be intimidating. But so, you know, I've overcome that, and just, you know, wanting to be in a space where that I can mentor other folks to also like come behind me, and so like to be able to open doors and to make folks, you know, also like be able to feel comfortable in like this political space. And so like a lot of the work that I've done at the State Labor Council through our union summer program has been like super intentional in making sure that like we are like recruiting women, black women and women of color to join our union summer program, where we're able to like mentor them and like help them find jobs in the labor movement. And so shout out to my former intern Lachey, who just took a job with AFT Washington. Like I was like super invested in making sure that like she felt like she belonged in this movement, you know, like as a leader, as an organizer, coming from like a rank and file member, and like doing the work so that she so that like all black women can feel like we belong in this movement. And so I think for me, that has been one of like my major challenges, not only being like a black woman, but like also being young and folks not wanting to take me serious. I like respect folks, but my work speaks for itself, and so like you know, that follows me into the wind as well.
So how long you been here?
I've been out here for 2.5 years, so they brought me out here just in time for the 2018 elections to run that show in April, and we won some House seats, we won some Senate seats, like we got the job done.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you're still getting the job done. If you've been here 2.5 years and you're already reaching out to other sisters, giving them an opportunity to strut their stuff. So I want to thank you.
Like I said, I'm only here because of the black women who come before me and have mentored me and make sure there was opportunity for me. And so, you know.
Well, again, good on
you. So, do you have any advice to any black women interested in politics? What would be yet to make a move to be involved in politics?
Go for it. Absolutely, go for it. Get out there and do it. Like, do it. Like, if you have a dream, like, do it. And if you want to get involved in politics, you know, like, everything's political, right? And so, like, a lot of things around politics, like, navigating different people in different spaces. Like, as black women, we are navigating those spaces every single day. Like, and, you know, when we show up to work, you know, oftentimes, like, we show up as our representative, or we often wear the mask, right? And so, like, we don't get to come fully. And so, like, we're already, you know, navigating, like, spaces of trying to, like, figure things out and, you know, all of that, and, like, put all the pieces together. And so, like, through, you know, through just living, we are learning how to be political and, you know, be savvy. And so I think just like bringing your magic to the table, we all absolutely have something to offer. There's like room for all of us at the table. So like, you know, if you want to get involved with politics, come and do it. And like, you know, things are changing every day. And so it's not like you need to know like how they did it in 1947, because how we're doing it in 2020, it's like changing every day. Like in this moment, in the middle of a pandemic and a health crisis, like it shifted a lot of things to like a virtual space. And like, there are a lot of Black women leading those spaces and doing the work. And so I think like, if you want to do it, I can't wait to see you at the table, sis. Come and join us.
And there's way more opportunity for us now too, you know, because I went through the Oregon Labor Candidate School, which is sponsored by the Oregon AFL. And I'm sure that in folks' states, your folks listening, check in with your unions. And then there's also for women the Emerge program. Okay. And so there's lots of opportunity and lots of assistance. And then also the Black women that are thinking about running. Here's a book that was really helpful for me, and I'm glad to have it. For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Politics, written by Donna Brazil, Yolanda Carroway, Leah Daughtry, and Mignon Moore. And these are all women that have worked on presidential campaigns, you know, going back to, they stayed here, Mondale forward. Jesse Jackson's campaign, both Clinton's, Barack Obama, and probably currently as well. And so we have lots of examples far away, and we have lots of really good examples to see when we have on the call right now, up close and personal. Let's go.
That's a good book for sure to read. And I know here for us at the State Labor Council, me and April do a lot of work to recruit folks for our Path to Power program. And so, like, always with an eye towards recruiting Black people, Black women, and Black people and people of color to run and want to run. And, like, even after this election, we are looking forward to a virtual gathering, you know, that we're throwing for folks who are interested in like a career in politics and what that looks like. And so just always thinking about like how we can continue to pay it forward and like bring folks to the team, you know. And so like super excited about that. And like as we get closer to election day and just the opportunity that we have in Washington State, there are 9 women running for office, 9 Black women running for the state legislature. And so what does that mean, like, if we were to have, like, 9 Black women in the legislature, like, how that changes? And so, you know, like, I'm excited about the re-election campaigns for Deborah Intiman and Melanie Morgan, right? And then also excited about folks like Tamisha Harris, you know.
Right.
Down in the 17th, Tamisha Harris. And then, like, we have Lana Noble running. You know, should she be successful? And I'm so looking forward to that win on Tuesday night. She'll be the only Black person in the Senate, right? And so, you know, Tawana Kirsten Harris Talley is running, right? In Seattle, Joy Stanford is running. So 1, 2, 3, 4, because I don't want to forget anybody, y'all. So I'm going to have to pull a piece of paper out to make sure I say everybody's name. But, you know, Joy, Tanisha, Tawana, April Burgess running in the 44th, right? And then we have Jamila Taylor in the 30th, right? And so excited for them to win and join Representative Morgan and Representative Intiman.
Well, the 17th is trying to do all we can do. All right.
So, Sister Audrey, we're at that.
Yes, in our closing.
We're at that witching hour, and I'd like to thank the sisters from Washington State who are moving and shaking up there. We feel the quake down here, and I want to thank you both for joining us tonight. And we got to keep our fingers crossed. We got to still get out there and get people out there to vote. It's still not too late. But again, I'd really like to thank you both for coming on our show.
It was a pleasure. as always, to join your show. Thank you, ladies, for the work that you all are doing, for holding it down for us, for lifting us up. I'm hoping that we can all celebrate on November 3rd. So, and I'm looking forward to the next time. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was a pleasure to be here. Before I get off, like, I don't also want to forget that Taylor Whitmer is running for a state Supreme Court in Washington State. And so she serves on our Supreme Court, but this is her first election. And so she'd be the first Black woman to be elected to the Supreme Court. So shout out to Justice Whitmer and all the other Black women running on the ticket in Washington State. And so to be in conversation with y'all. And I can't wait to see y'all soon.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for all you do.
Let me just make the closing announcement. The Coalition of Black Treasurers, we meet second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. And since the coronavirus, we have suspended face-to-face meetings, so we are utilizing Google Hangouts to conduct our meeting. So our next meeting will be held November the 10th, 2020, and our email address is rcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, so join us in our evolving adventure representing Black union workers. And I just want to add that we again will be passing out without the boat flyers at Staples, Martin Luther King, and Popeyes on Saturday. Did it last Saturday. And we will be doing it again of this weekend. So you come and join us. Meet us there while we continue to encourage people to get out the boat.
All right.
All right.
Well, so we're going to call it a night. And I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Black Girl Magic and Politics. And holla!
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOOK.